Amen.
I'll be praying these days. You would raise up in the churches many
Amen.
Know how to pray.
Amen.
Lord, Amen. The genuine and proper and prevailing intercessors.
Amen.
Lord, individually and also corporately.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that you will find such an intercessor on the earth today.
Amen.
Lord, that can truly, truly echo your desire.
Amen.
Or truly channel your interest.
Amen.
Or truly
yes, Lord.
Bring your will from heaven to earth.
Amen.
Lord, for this we pray that you will perfect us.
Amen.
Lord, you will train us.
Amen.
Lord, to become such intercessors.
Amen.
All on your name.
Amen.
Raise up more brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Lord, who are learned and experienced.
Amen.
Know how to pray in cooperation with you.
Amen.
Lord, that your move will not be hindered.
Amen.
Lord, you can carry out the purpose as you will.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, freely and flowingly.
Amen.
Lord, and strongly.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us and be with us tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Speak to us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Well, good evening, brothers and sisters in Northern California churches. It's Tuesday night talk again before we go to pray. And as I said, these are talks and therefore they're not as organized as a message. And they comprise thoughts and feeling that I have in these days. And I trust that the Lord will be in them and will use them to school us. You know, I use the word school here in verb form. Told you that there is this famous little booklet by Andrew Murray with Christ in the school of prayer, clearly indicating that to him that one have to go through some training, some education, some learning to know how to pray. And if you have any insight and study into this matter, and if you have some experience in this matter, I think you will wholeheartedly agree with Brother Murray that this is indeed the case. In these days, of course, along with you, I am having much more prayer than ever. It's a bit shameful to admit that even we, the co-workers or leading brothers, found ourselves to have be greatly negligent in this ministry, in our prayer life. And it take these kind of days and times and lockdowns and quarantine for us to kind of get that tap on our shoulder from the Lord, as it were, to say, you know, why haven't you been praying? You have done much, you labor much, you're busy, you're doing many things in my name and for my purpose even, but where is the prayer? So I hope these days all of us together are getting a wake-up call from the Lord, and I hope that this wake-up call is not a temporal one, but by his mercy would be a lasting one. So in these days, with that kind of a burden for myself and for the saints, indeed all the saints, not just in the Bay Area or Northern California, throughout the whole earth, all the churches in all the places on the earth would see this, would be awakened. You know, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord took a few of his disciples to go and pray. And of course, he agonized in those hours in prayer before he was delivered or arrested and then killed. There he was, even the Lord himself needs some vital companions, if I may, a few to stand with them, him, to pray with him. So he asked, when they fell asleep, could you not watch with me for just a little? So the Lord needs some co-watchmen. The Lord needs some twos and threes, what we call, to watch together. But alas, they didn't. They fell asleep. And I think in at least in one place, I don't know which life study, Brother Lee used that word in First Peter that says, be sober unto prayer. And there also it says, in the different chapter, this is all in First Peter. By the way, brothers and sisters, in Peter, he pay much attention to prayer. This is not just the domain of Paul the Apostle, but even with Peter, in chapter 4, verse 7, he says, be sober unto prayers. So sobriety is very much needed, meaning you have to be awakened. You cannot be befuddled. You cannot be unsober if you are to partake in this kind of a prayer. And in chapter 5, verse 8, he said, be sober and watch. Of course, here he's talking, referring to the adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion seeking some to consume, to devour. And so a reference was made back to the Garden Gethsemane, where the disciples obviously were not watching. They were not sober. They fell asleep. They were not vigilant. And Brother Lee talked about there are three kinds of sleep, three kinds of unwatchfulness in a kind of a sleepy condition. He said, of course, physically. Then he said, psychologically. You may be physically awake, but psychologically, you are just befuddled. You are not sober. You're in your emotions, you're in your mind, you're in your will, you're in your soul. You're just fully in that realm. And therefore, psychologically, you are asleep. You cannot watch. And even the spirit can fall asleep, a weak spirit, a spirit unexercised. There it says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But the experience shows us, brothers, even our spirit can be unwilling. Our spirit can be sleepy. Our spirit can be not watchful at all. So I am in these days, of course, very exercised in this matter. And before the Lord, in my prayers to the Lord, with regards to this burden of prayer, there would be two things I would like to tell you. There are many things to pray for. If you're in the 30-day prayers now for the month of May, if you're still going to unceasinglypray.org, I hope many more who have not signed up will sign up, will take a slot, and really begin to make use of this website to help you build up your life of prayer and to build up the twos and threes prayer, to build up even the church prayer. And so every day there's some reminder there. It's wonderful. Brother Don Mango just told us last night, I believe, an email sent out from the website to tell you that we have now a new section under ministry on, 30 plus number of hymns from our hymnal, the top hymnals, mostly by Brother Lee, and some by me, and some by some others, primarily Brother Lee. And I'll tell you, many of those hymns are unfamiliar to many of us, and even to some of us who used to sing them, we don't sing them that much anymore. We're all making that offering as another way to help, besides the daily portion that we can read, apart from on top of the prayer burden, even hymns. These hymns can be exceedingly useful in nourishing us, in inciting us, in stirring us up, even in anointing us, in the building up of our prayer life. I hope you can make use of that. So what is my main burden? My main burden, maybe the top burden, I would say, that is in these days, and I don't mean just this month, I mean in these times that we find ourselves in. And these times, by the way, could be longer than just until May 15 or whenever, when the governor will begin to lift the shelter-in-place order in California. And many different states are doing this. People are just itching to get out and resume normal and socialize and do all kinds of things. But I will tell you, these days of difficulties, these days of affliction, is here to stay for a while. The economy, we still have not faced it squarely. The unemployment, the recession that we're already in, and so many other things. And even the even with this virus, it's not so simple. Today I heard that actually the strain of this virus that U.S. is suffering from is different from the one that started in China. It is more malignant and more powerful, and it comes from the direction of Europe, you know, all the way to the eastern seaboard, especially New York City, New York, New Jersey area, and then it spreads. And so there are different strains through the mutation of this virus. And when will we have the vaccine? Of course, the people are predicting, you know, by the end of the year, beginning of next year. But dear brothers and sisters, these are times that we are finding ourselves in. These are very extraordinary times, allowed by God, speaking to warn and judge the people of the world, and also in a different sense to warn and judge us, because judgment begins from the house of God. There is God's dealing here. There is God's judgment here. There's also God's mercy and grace here, if we would access them, if we would be awakened, if we would be humbled, if we would be desperate to ask, to seek and to knock, so that we can receive the Lord's dispensing, the Lord's supply, and also to get a word from Him, to hear His word of warning, His word of instruction pertaining to the church, pertaining to us Christians. What are we short of? How are we not cooperating with Him? Where have we failed? Where have we been slow and giving Him frustration, the Lord frustration in what He wants to accomplish in and through us? These are the times, my brothers and sisters, to consider these things, to reflect on these things, to pray about these things. I hope that we will redeem the time to do so, and no need to do so many other things, you know. I think another good thing about these days, we found out how little we need to survive. You know what I mean? We don't even need that many changes of clothing. And we can eat simple food. We can do without a lot of things. You know, there's no football games. There's no basketball games. There's no concerts. There's no athletics. There's nothing. You see, we can still live. But for what? For what? Like the worldly people, waiting for these things to come around again so that we can assume, quote, quote, normality. We are the people of God. We are the house of prayer. Brothers and sisters, the Lord has a message to us. Have we gotten that message? For me, the primary message in these days still is the matter of intercessory prayer. For this, my main burden is that the Lord would raise up more intercessors through these times. By his mercy, that some, I don't expect all the saints, but I do look to the Lord that some, I pray that there will be some within the recovery. And let me tell you, I even pray outside of the Lord's recovery, in his body, amongst his members, the Lord will raise up some pure ones, some faithful ones, some cooperative ones, to vow to the Lord to make a change, to make a vow, like a Nazarite vow, to be absolute for the Lord and his interests in this particular way. What way? The way of interceding on the earth, to be joined to him and to be one with him. I don't have the time tonight because I'm already saying so much already, taken so much time already. But, you know, in the Word, it says that in the Old Testament, the two persons who is share recognition by Jehovah, by the Lord, as the praying ones, as those who stand on behalf of his people before him, would be one Moses and the other actually Samuel. I haven't spoken that much about Samuel. I spoke about Abraham. I spoke about Moses, of course. But I skipped Samuel and I went to Daniel, am I right? But these days I'm led to look back into Samuel and realize that this is another one. Both of these persons share the three main offices of prophethood, priesthood, and judgeship. They are judges. In these three ways, these two persons are the same. And dispensationally, of course, they are instruments. Moses bringing God's people out, ready to go into the land. And, of course, Samuel brought the nation of Israel, or the Israelites, from the age of judges into the age of the kings, which is a very important type to bring so that God can have a kingdom on the earth and not judges. Judges are times when situations are abnormal with Israel. In a proper situation, God needs a kingdom. And Samuel was such. Of course, Daniel also turned the age by bringing in the return of the captivity. All these ones are ones who stand before God as praying ones, as praying ones. And to learn to pray, we do well to study these men of prayer. I hope you will find that kind of time. So, brothers, again, this is my intense burden. Lord, these days, raise up the true intercessors, more intercessors on the earth, genuine intercessors that you need. in and outside of the recovery in your church. Of course, here in the church, we are actually had an advantage because we know so many things. We know something about God's purpose and economy and will, like other Christians would not know. But are we praying more? I would tend to say no. I would tend to say no. And that is a shame. There's not a match here. The more revelation we have, the more word of God that we have, there's only one reason. So that what? So that we can do something. We can carry out something according to that word to cooperate with God. That is why God gives revelation. Revelation are not end in itself. It is the working out of what is embodied in that revelation. That is what God wants to do in a particular time, in a particular age. And the way for us, the top way for the church to play that role, to be that cooperator, is what? Is the function of prayer. Of prayer. Now, brothers and sisters, in order to fulfill that function, in order to be that intercessor, we have to be schooled. We have to be trained. Because this is totally not natural. Let me tell you, true prayer, the real prayer, is the acid test, so to speak, of everything spiritual. Prayer tests out what you are, who you are, how you are, where you are, like nothing else. An experienced Christian or believer amidst others, he can just tell by the opening of the mouth to pray where this person is. It's not hard to discern for those who have some experience in terms of their level of growth, in terms of their level of maturity, their heart condition, the truth that they have, the knowledge that they have, how much they have been trained or equipped or not. You can tell once a person opened their mouth to pray. Prayer is the indicator, brothers, more than anything else, of where we are spiritually. How are we with the Lord? How one are we for his interest? Prayer exposes. Prayer would reveal these things. So these days, I know I'm repeating myself, brothers and sisters, I hope that you are so serious about this matter, because this is a very serious matter to build up yourself in the prayers, the intercessory prayers, not just the common kind of prayer. That's okay and necessary, but I'm talking about intercessory prayer. Now, tonight with the remaining time, I just like to say a few more words, more on the practical side, as a kind of a little help or equipping for us to become one who is learned in the matter of prayer. The Lord actually, in his own words, in the gospel, spoke a lot about prayers. He used parables. He used examples of people he saw on the streets and wherever. And he spoke, of course, in his so-called Sermon on the Mount, you know, his words related to the constitution of the kingdom there in the beginning of Matthew, very much on this matter of prayer, showing that in the kingdom life, prayer occupies a very in a very important position. Even for us to live the kingdom life, we need to what? We need to learn how to live, have a proper prayer life. And tonight I would like to just very quickly say a few things about matters that would hinder our prayer, that would cause our prayer not to be accepted or heard or received or much less answered by the Lord. Things that will cause our prayer to be ineffectual, that means useless, just praying with no results, no answers. This is important, brothers. This sounds negative, but I think many of us have the experience. We can pray and pray and pray, nothing happens. Even we in ourselves are dissatisfied with our kind of prayer, as if it just hit a wall. It was not even heard by God, much less answered by God. There's no effect of our prayer, no result in our prayer. Sometimes even when we pray, we feel so dry, so it's not flowing, it's not hitting the mark, it's just not going anywhere. So, of course, there are a lot of reasons for this. Tonight, I just went to mention two or three quickly, very quickly. let me just start by saying that, at the end of James, you have James talking about prayer. And it talks about, of course, someone being ill, and the elders would pray over this ill person, and so on. And then it talks about the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, this ill person, believer, and the Lord will raise him, this person, up after the prayer. And if he has committed sins, it will be forgiven him. And then in verse 16, chapter 5, it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Still in this story here. Then it says, the petition of a righteous man avails much in its working. Then it talks about Elijah entreating Jehovah earnestly that there would be no rain. I think I mentioned that story before. But tonight I want to draw your attention to this matter here about, you know, this word that says the petition of a righteous man avails much. That word avail means what? It means very, very effective. That means there are prayers by certain ones that are ineffective. That does not avail much, or that does not work so well. But it takes a righteous man to petition. Then that prayer will work well. Well, the principle here, brothers and sisters, is that we come back to this point. It is not just how do we pray, of course. Even I like to strongly recommend this little booklet called Key to Prayer by Watchman Nee. Please go and get it, Key to Prayer. And in future, we have time, we can get more into it about how to touch the Lord, how to know the Lord's heart when we pray to receive the answer. But that is not my burden tonight. That is not my burden tonight. My burden tonight is this, that to have prayers that would be availing, prayer that would be effective, prayer that is received, heard by God, and answered, it has to do with not the firstly, how you pray, or even what you pray, the first thing has to do with the person who prays. As we all know, in the spiritual realm, in particularly in our service to the Lord, it's not what we do that is as important as what we are. We have this saying. In the matter of prayer, it is the same, brothers and sisters. It's not what you say and how you pray, even what you pray, is who is doing the praying. What kind of person are you? If you are the right person, your prayer will be heard, will be effective. When you're the wrong person, you may even pray the right prayer, so to speak, nothing happens. So here you have this word, the prayer of the petition of the righteous man avails much. And the reference here is 2 Chronicles 7:15, where it says, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers of this place. And there's such a verse in reference. And for the eyes, in 1 Peter, in chapter 3, another place, it says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears incline to their petition. This kind of a word is repeated, similar utterances elsewhere in the Old Testament in a number of places. That is, there is a principle that when a certain kind of person pray, the Lord's eyes will be on them. You see, the Lord's presence, the Lord would be there, the Lord would pay attention, the Lord would look, would gaze, and also the Lord's ears would be inclined to their petition. The Lord is likely to listen, to draw close, to hear what they have to say. And what kind of person are these? The righteous. The righteous. So I am quite burdened, brothers and sisters, and this obviously will take more time to speak about, and that is, we, in order to be today's prevailing intercessors, have to go back and check our person, to check our life, to check our living, whether our being matches this qualification, whether we live righteously, whether we are righteous, whether we are one with Christ, to have his subjective righteousness, that determines how powerful our prayers will be. I think all of us are interested in effective prayers, right? We're not here just say, let's pray that prayer that doesn't avail. Then what does that mean? We have tens of thousands or more saints praying these days. My question is, how much are the prayers effective? How many of those prayers really bringing in answers? I'm not sure every prayer will be effective. It depends on the person. It depends on the person. If you and I do not live a proper life, a righteous life, a life that is in the kingdom, right? The kingdom of God is righteousness. We do not live out Christ as our righteousness. We're not right with God, we're not right with one another, then forget it, brothers. Even when you pray, I'm sorry to say that prayer would be a hypocritical prayer. I know that is a very strong word, but I want to impress upon you, in the old days, the prophet was speaking something against Judah, the southern a nation, and Israel, the northern nation. And the northern nation, it's very, very bad. You know, the the people idolatry. But it says in the southern nation of Judah, it's a bunch of hypocritic worshipers. Their sin is sins of hypocrisy. And that means they are not what they really are. They are actors. They are imposters. They are people pretending to be something that they are not. Remember how many times the Lord talked about the Pharisees and the scribes. They wear these long robes. They stand on street corners. They pray long prayers. And they have this multiplicity of words. So when they fast, they put on a long face and all of these things. Those are all the Lord's words. And one word that would describe that, and that is hypocrisy. But I know we're not practicing those things, but in principle, if we do not live a certain kind of life, and yet we pray, brothers and sisters, do you think that prayer will work? I think even if you are fair, you are sober, you will say no. You will say no. And the problem is not in these words. I mean, these Pharisees, they know what to pray. They know how to pray long prayers, beautiful prayers. They can give messages to God. But those prayers does not avail anything. In fact, the Lord says they got their reward already. They got their reward already. They give alms in the same way for a show. I know we don't pray for a show, but in principle, many times, even my conscience tells me your prayer right now is a bit of a show. You have the right words. You're saying the right things. But it's empty. It is sounding brass. This is tingling cymbals. This is there's not much there. You know, the Father seeks the true worshipers that were true, that were true. It's not just a matter of reality. That word true also means a kind of sincerity, a kind of genuineness, this kind of virtue. That means there's nothing hypocrisy there. There's nothing hypocritical there with this person. And the Father is seeking such to worship him. The Father is seeking this kind of intercessor, this kind of prayers. And so, brothers, I hope you are receiving some of this burden. And so the Lord, for example, said, you know, like what we just read, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another. Just right there. Why? Because there's some problems between some brothers or some saints. There's some offenses. There's some problems. There's some discord. There's something unrighteous there. There's something of sin there. You know, in the Lord's word, there he said, whenever you go to offer gifts, right? That means when you go to contact God to pray, and you remember something, a brother has sinned against you. You better leave those things there and go and conciliate with your brother first, and then you come back and offer your sacrifices, meaning you go and deal with the sin, deal with the offenses, deal with the problems, make things right. You have to be righteous first, then whatever you offer at the altar, I will receive, I will accept. My brothers and sisters, these things you may say, oh, this is so basic, so elementary. They are, but they are key. They are very much a key to our prayers, whether they would be effective or not. And so I hope, dear saints, these days, because we have the burden to become such intercessors, the Lord will use this to work on us, on our being, to deal with us. Our unrighteousness before him, our sins before him, our transgressions, and maybe our sins towards people, any kind of wrongdoings, any kind of shortcomings. And actually, there are many things that we need to pray for. Actually, the next time, maybe at the Lord, as the Lord leads, I want to talk about confession and repentance. This is altogether cannot be disassociated from prayer in the Old Testament and in the New. So these days, I know many of us are stir burdened to become a praying person, but we got to make sure that our base, our foundation of a prayer life is solid. And this is one of the main things. Paul says, the Father whom I serve, right, in 2 Timothy, I serve my fathers in a pure conscience. Prayer is a top service to the Lord. We serve the Lord by prayer, in prayer. This is our top ministry. And in order to pray, to serve in that way, we need a pure conscience, an undefiled conscience, a clean conscience, a good conscience, a conscience void of offense. And you know, brothers and sisters, when there is something piling up there, unconfessed sins, undealt with issues that we between us and the Lord, any kind of disobedience within us or rebelliousness within us, or any kind of offense with some other saints, problems with other members, any of these things between us and God and us with man, we don't deal with it. Confess them. Confess means you are in agreement. You declare the facts. You confess them. I tell you, brothers, our conscience is defiled. Our conscience is not clean nor pure. And in that situation, our spirit is just entirely deadened. Our spirit cannot come alive. We cannot be vital and living in those situations. And God being a God of the living and the living God himself, we won't be even in that realm to pray, to touch the living God and operate in that proper realm according to him in this matter of prayer. So at the risk of being speaking these so-called basic things, that they are not so basic, brothers. And I hope in these days our burden to become such prayers will turn and work on us to cause us to really look at our lives, to deal with our living, to deal with our relationship. And, I now remember in 1 Peter 3, Paul was talking about husband and wife. He said that you have to consider and care for your wife as a weaker vessel, am I right? And so on. And at the end it says that so that you can assigning honor to the wife, that you can be joined heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Some of our prayers are hindered because of the husband and wife relationship. Really, really. And this, I love this word, that your prayers may not be hindered. And our relationship in marriage with one another. And then after that section, it comes to our common life, a turn from the marriage life. It says here that we should not revile one another. We should bless one another and so on. We should not have to speak evil things to one another. We should seek peace, etc. Then the quote, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears inclined to their petition." Peter brings up the petition here again, "But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Brothers, again, petition. If we want our petition to be heard by the Lord, if we want to have the eyes of the Lord upon us, we have to be the righteous ones. We have to be the righteous ones on the earth. So I think that this is good enough. I spoke too long already. I hope this little word will stir us up, would cause us all to really have time in the Lord's presence to confess and to repent of our situation, to deal with all the matters between us and Him and us with one another in the church life or with others, until our conscience is a good and pure conscience, until there's nothing between the Lord and us. Then whatever we pray, we will have His presence, His eyes, His ears, and whatever we'll pray will be effectual, will avail very, very much. It's not you pray long prayers and you have the, you know, eloquent prayers. No, that doesn't mean that much. It is who is praying, right? It was Abraham praying. It was Samuel praying. It was Elijah praying. It was Daniel praying. These people are right. And God found these intercessors on the earth who can echo His desire. I think I will stop here. You please forgive me for going beyond my time. The Lord really, really strengthen and bless you all to learn, to be trained, to really become a proper intercessor that He so much need today. Amen.